VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America. Folks, it should come as no surprise to you, but our nation is going through many serious challenges. I mean, crime and violence are out of control. Cities are devastated and falling apart. There are those that are fanning the flames of hatred between people of different shades of skin color. Drug abuse and drug overdoses are off the charts. Suicides are skyrocketing. Law enforcement with a broad brush is being tainted as being racist and bigoted and out of control. Morals have been thrown out the window. The family unit is just a shadow of what it once was. And churches today, well, there are so many that are taking a backseat to the demands of the culture. We're told that the solution lies with teaching critical race theory or paying reparations or decriminalizing certain acts or certain types of behavior or establishing universal basic income standards. That's going to make our nation better. Well, our guest today is concerned. So concerned that he's not only pinpointing the cause, but has designed a course of action to address the decline that's happening before our very eyes. With us today is Paul Benjamin Sr. He's a conservative Christian author. He's a speaker, a preacher, a mentor. He's the founder of Life Centers Global and Positive Influencers, LLC, and founder of the Central Florida Dream Center, empowering people and communities to self-sufficiency. He's the author of the book, No Child Without a Dad. Paul, thank you for joining us today here on Crosstalk.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Jim.
Paul, I've just given a snapshot of what's happening across our nation, but it's really far worse than what I've stated here in the introduction to the program. Tell us what you see through your eyes as you look at this nation.
Well, I always go systematically. The very foundation of what's going on stems from the father. And as you and I know, the very word family comes from the father, from the word father. So as the father goes, so goes the family, so goes the church, so goes our cities, the nation, and the world. And we're looking at a fatherless issue here. I call it the father fracture syndrome that was launched when Adam willfully rebelled against our heavenly father. And all of this points back to hindering the relationship with our heavenly dad. And so we're seeing the crime and the violence that stems from men being out of place. And that's why when God sent Jesus to reach one world, he spent his time with 12 men, and he said, I have no other plan. And today, as men go, so goes the family. Hmm. And we're seeing the byproduct now of the fatherless syndrome. 90% of the crimes are committed by fatherless young men. And as we spend money as a nation addressing the symptoms, human trafficking, domestic violence, abuse in the homes, and the opioid crisis and BLM, all of those things stem right back to the father. And I trace that in the book.
Has it always been this way, or are the problems escalating?
Well, we're about to enter. God only has 7 seasons with mankind, and we're about to enter the 5th season. And so the enemy knows his days are numbered. So when Paul spoke about in 2 Timothy that in the last days, perilous times will come, parents will be killing children killing parents, and all kind of atrocities that we're seeing right now in our society. Paul foresaw that 2,000 years ago because he knew that the family demise will become at this critical point where now we're talking about 9 out of 10 children born now in the inner cities are born and raised in homes without dads, and in suburbia, 5 or 6 homes without a dad. So Paul knew as the enemy binds the strong man, the father in the home, he would have access. And he knew in the last days this would be the byproduct.
That's a shocking statistic you just gave there. Why is that happening? Why is dad absent? Being born to single moms. Why is that happening?
Well, in the urban community, it's more profound because of when the launch of the war on poverty, which is a very crafted strategic plan to remove the father out of the home. Because the enemy knew if you want to get access to the family, you first have to remove the dad. Because the very word family comes from the father. And when you remove the father, then you remove the glory source, the glory code in the home. The father carries the highest love and acceptance in a child's life. So if you want to get access to the family, you get access to the father. And so with them creating that process of providing money now for single moms when the dad is out of the home. I wrote a chapter in the book about men jumping out the window. Back in the day when the social workers came to the home of recipients that were receiving welfare, if the man was in the home, that woman would lose her support or welfare support. So you would see men would jump out of the windows 12 o'clock at night, 1 o'clock in the morning, when that social worker pays a surprise visit to make sure there's no man in the home. So now men only believe in the urban community. Their only function is to be a sperm donor, and the real dad will be the taxpayer through Uncle Sam that will now foot the bill to pay for all of these children, to pay for all their labels, the ADD, SLD, and all of these different Ds. And now the taxpayers, $22 trillion later, we're still seeing increased crime, increased violence, increased domestic violence, drug use, and the pillage of our nation because they've removed the purpose and value and the person of the father out of the home.
So you see a vast difference, and I'm hearing as you spoke so far here, a vast difference between fathering a child and being a dad.
Oh yeah. Any male can donate a sperm to sire a child, but it takes a real man to be a father. To say, I will be there. Like Paul the Apostle said, we have thousands of instructors, but not many fathers. And today we have a lot of men donating the sperm, and now they're not standing in the gap to be real fathers to this generation.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just about to say, that's what gave birth to the gang. The gangs are nothing more than replacement families.
Comment further on that. That's an interesting a comment you just made.
Yeah, gangs are nothing more than replacement families. It's founded by a fatherless man who takes the role of now creating family because God created us for family. One of the five core needs that he's placed within all of us is to have a father, because he is called father, and to know one source and one identity. So the gang now creates a father family structure. That's why for you to leave a gang, you have to be killed or beaten out or whatever format, or to get into a drug, to a gang, you have to do initiations because they don't want to lose that family structure that they were victims of themselves. So we see that cycle over and over in communities and their rival gangs and all those different things. All they're looking for is really authentic fathering. And I've led a couple of drug dealers to Christ, and all they were looking for is somebody who will take the time as a dad to love them and reveal the character of the Heavenly Father.
Paul, what ignited your passion to deal with this issue? What was the spark?
Well, I think one of the first sparks was back about 30 years ago, about 31 years now. One of the young men in my scout group back in New York was fooling around, was given a gun by his uncle, who was a drug dealer, and he was upstairs where my son and daughter were being looked after by one of our church members. And this young man was fooling around with a gun. The gun went off and killed this young lady and shot her right and killed her on the spot. my son was 5 inches away from where she was. So that could have been a major game changer. And but the next pivotal thing was the young man threw the gun in the lake, and I was called to take him into the police department because he was hiding until he can get to see me. I was his commander and his father figure in his life. He grew up in a fatherless home. His dad had abused his mom, and so he was living with a single mom. But as I'm driving him into the police department, he said, Pastor Paul, could I go and see my dad before I go to jail? I said, sure. So I drove up to the dad's house, knocked on the door, and what I heard is still resonated in my spirit 30 years later. When the dad came to the door and I said, I have his son with me, the dad said, I have no son. So the last words his son heard was his dad saying, I have no son.
Mm.
And then the Lord opened my eyes to realize 9 out of 10 of the young men in my scout unit in New York were from single-parent homes, didn't have a dad in their lives. Only my son that was in the program. So that opened up my eyes to the fatherless crisis, because I'm a second-generation minister. I was raised by a great dad and mom, and so I didn't have that issue growing up. But the Lord removed that veil, and I began to be more intentional of reaching out to the fatherless. And then the next pivotal thing was Trayvon Martin was shot 500 yards from my front door in Sanford, Florida. I think it's coming up now on 10 years or 9 years since that happened. And then the Lord said, now, Paul, I'm going to give you a voice to the nations, because for 20 years I was telling the suburban church to work with me in the inner city where 9 out of 10 of these young men and women have no dads, because one day they're going to reach us in our gated suburban communities. And lo and behold, Trayvon Martin, a fatherless young man, kicked out of school 5 times, was sent to Sanford to find his father and live with him, came into a gated community where the home values went from $200,000 up to $500,000 in that community there. And so now we see the ripple effect that came from that. Black Lives Matter was birthed from there. The critical race theory. And now the enemy is just using that to further divide our nation.
All right. Paul Benjamin Sr. with us here today on Crosstalk, and has become an advocate to speak out on this issue. He's authored a book entitled No Child Without a Dad. We're just within a half minute of a break, but Pastor Paul, for those who like to obtain a copy of this book, you've got it available on our website, or how can they obtain it?
They can go. Our website is lifecentersglobal.com. And or they can get the Audible book, the ebook, and the print copy at Amazon.com, and because everybody have an Amazon account. But the audio book is great listening.
Okay, lifecentersglobal.com, or you've got the audio book that's also available as well. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to delve more into these issues here today on Crosstalk, and look at the solution. How do we right the ship? How do we change things? We'll get into all that here as time progresses. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, is there ever interbreeding between species?
Indeed there is, Chris. To illustrate this, let's talk about dogs. We know that in domestic dogs, there are many different breeds, and some of them are very different, from Great Danes to Chihuahuas, but all of them are interfertile. They're all part of the same species. The Bible tells us that God created the various kinds, and the dog kind, no doubt, included the domestic dogs. But it evidently also included the wolf and the fox and the coyote, because all of them can interbreed. Now I find that even jackals have been interbred with domestic dogs. Jackals have a very acute sense of smell, and so breeding them with huskies produced a new dog, which are good sniffer dogs for use at airports. Once again, Chris, we see that the biblical creation story is the one that makes sense, and that's the back to Genesis truth.
This is Chris O'Brien. Thanks for tuning in.
A nation in crisis. What do we do? Our guests are today Paul Benjamin Sr., conservative Christian author, a speaker, a preacher, a mentor, addressing many of these issues here today on the program. And a little bit later, we'll give you opportunity to call in with your questions, your response to the very issues he's talking about today. Right now, Pastor Paul, I am speaking to you from the city of Milwaukee, and we've got our issues here that are just magnified as other urban areas, what matters are going on. And right now we have a proposed ordinance to decriminalize marijuana in the city. And one of the reasons that they're stating so is that there's a disproportionate number of blacks that are being charged for marijuana offenses than there are whites. How do you respond to that? Is that a give us rationale that we need to decriminalize marijuana?
Well, our nation has gone on a frenzy where anything black, if you speak against black, it's a hate crime. You're a racist. So it has silenced a lot of authentic white pastors who want to speak to the issue, but in fear of being ostracized, of being racist or bigots or whatever it is. But what the problem is, in the black community, 9 out of 10 of these young men and women are coming from homes without dads. A lot of them, the criminalization of the drugs that they sell is part of their income stream. These, they're raised on the welfare system, and a lot of them, when you're on welfare, you're being told that you cannot save any money, so they're living in a cash-based society, and the drug dealing is just part of their income stream. And but whatever we can't control by law, we try to make it available, and where we take away the value of the law of doing something wrong, and now we just legalize it. So that's mm-hmm. why in many states you see they're legalizing what they cannot control morally, but it's a spiritual problem. It is coming back. There's no dads in the home. There's no guidance. And so to provide and to take care of the income streams, they turn to all types of illegal substances. Some of them are using it, but some of them are selling it. And to fill that void in the heart that comes from their fatherless relationships.
In your book, No Child Without a Dad, you indicate that there are many young black men who are angry. Not only angry, but they're rebellious to male authority figures, and also rebellious toward the authority of police officers. Tell us why.
Yeah, the first authority in a home is the dad. And when the dads are absent, the mom takes on that role. It's really incongruous to her nature. Many moms, single moms that I've spoken to said, I had to be both mom and dad, and I quietly disagree, and I said, you can only be a mom. And God ordained the dad to be the strict disciplinarian and to model his fatherhood of discipline. So when the authority of the dad is not there, then the next authority the kids encounter is either a school teacher with authority in school, but 95% of the school teacher that they'll first meet is a female. Through kindergarten, elementary, middle school, the first time they may encounter a teacher with authority might be in high school. But after that, now your next authority is the law enforcement. And so what is not taken care of at home, the law enforcement will ultimately have to do. So there's a resistance against police officers because authority without relationship leads to anger and rebellion. And that's why you see such a rebellious nature against law enforcement officer. And not to mention, they might see the officer taking their mom to jail, their grandfather to jail, their siblings to jail for their illegal activities. And so that's why you see this big outcry of violence against the black community. It's because, yes, there is more activity there because 9 out of 10 of them have no dads. So the police officer becomes the authority in the community.
You're well aware, I'm sure, of the battle that's raging right now, between those who are wanting to say that the solution to all of this is the teaching of critical race theories. I mean, we're told that there are people, I mean, this is being battled back and forth in school districts, and whole states are battling this, coming up in the halls of Congress. It's dominating the headlines. We're told that people who are born with white skin are inherently racist. That is part of what's called white privilege. How do you respond to this?
Well, the book of Acts 17:26 says, from one blood came all the nations. In other words, we all brothers and sisters because we all came from Adam. But the enemy is using our color, skin, and so on to divide and conquer. And I always say, if you follow the money, you'll know the motive. Critical race theory is not only to create a larger chasm of division in our nation, but it's a lot of big money behind it. Because as I shared one of the paragraphs in the book, one of the black clergy leaders for the black clergy in the city came to me and said, Paul, we know and like what you're doing with talking about reconciliation and healing, but we don't want that because reconciliation and healing stops the money flow. So there is big money behind BLM and the critical race theory. There's a lot of money being made by pillaging the taxpayers to pay for this curriculum and the intrusion into the corporate America where employees will be mandated to take a critical race class, and the amount of money involved in that, in the taxation and this whole restitution thing that they're using. Every time you talk about racism, it's always tied with restitution, with money.
Now, you mentioned this money and Black Lives Matter. You've mentioned them a couple times, and we've all seen these massive contributions going in from corporations to BLM, but yet you indicate in your book that the Black Lives Matter movement actually gave birth to what you call black privilege. Tell us what you mean by that.
Well, when President Obama was elected, and by 40% of the church that got involved and elected our first Muslim president, the blacks began celebrating across America that they have their Moses that's going to pillage the taxpayer and take care. We don't have to pay for our mortgage. We don't have to pay for our car notes. And what that did, it emboldened and it strengthened the black resolve, where now you're seeing leaders like these guys like Colin Kaepernick that is championing the BLM cause. BLM was birthed when President Obama called himself that he could be like Trayvon Martin. If he had a son like him, he would look like Trayvon. And the one key thing he said, nobody understands the plight of the black young men. And that emboldened the black community. Now we have our champion, we have our Moses in the White House. And so now you're seeing pastors in the black community are they can speak on any political topic from the pulpit. They can endorse any political candidate without any backlash from the media. A matter of fact, they're in synchronicity with the media. And all of these leaders are now emboldened to speak out and without any backlash from the media.
So,
do
you see the media as fanning the flames of this division?
Oh, yes. I share a paragraph. When the Trayvon Martin shooting happened, we had about 20 or 30 different outlets in media outlets, and they told me, one media said, we're now going to use these types of events that are inflamed is now our basis for operations because our ratings went up by 86%. So the media makes big money when they can keep anger and these types of things stirring because it increases their footprint and their advertising dollars. Again, you got to follow the money.
You mentioned Colin Kaepernick, and there's a lot of people that idolize sports figures and sports teams, and yet we have many sports heroes, you know, holding a fist in the air or taking a knee for the national anthem. We've got, what is it, the NFL, who's going to have the black national anthem that is going to be played. What about sports and its impact that it's having upon the fatherless home here today as it relates to this issue?
Yeah, a lot of these kids, these children, because they lack a leader in their home, as a dad, they look to these sports figures, gang leaders, and other television personalities to find their identity. And sorry to say that their sports becomes their idol, and these characters like LeBron James and the Kaepernicks that are men that are on the left spouting the hatred, they're falling for it, and they follow a lot of the rap singers that sing profanity, and these kids chant these things. Just case in point, look what Black Lives Matter did by chanting pigs in a blanket.
Mm-hmm.
Murder against police officers went up 1,100%. Murder against white women, white men went up by the same proportion. So it is these leaders that are championing the cause. Remember that the father has the greatest influence. The father has a 93% to 97% influence on the family. The mom has a 17% influence, and the youth have about a 3% influence. So to the degree of your influence is to the degree of your impact in the home and in society. And that's what we're seeing.
What is keeping men from taking responsibility?
Well, it comes back. We saw Adam did not take responsibility, and the same thing they saw in homes. When you're raised in a home where your dad did not take responsibility, then also it models, because the Bible says, "Whatever you sow to the wind, you will reap the whirlwind." And today we're seeing men not taking responsibility in their home, and so their kids are doing the same thing. They're not taking responsibility. They blame somebody else for it, and the left-wing government makes it very easy. It makes them a victim. Oh, you're poor. You're a victim of slavery. You're a victim of this. You're a victim of injustice. You're a victim of everything. So with that victim mentality, it's no longer their responsibility. And even when you have a drug addiction, it's not your fault. It's a disease. It's not a disease. It's an active choice. And so, therefore, we have taken away all personal responsibility, and that has been modeled by the father and becomes an influence on the entire family. And so no one wants to take responsibility.
Paul Benjamin Sr. is our guest here today on Crosstalk, a conservative author, a speaker, a preacher, mentor. And we are going to take a quick break. And friends, when we come back, I'm going to have him comment about the role of the church. What is the solution? What is the role of the church in all of this? So stay with us here to hear his response to that aspect. Again, his book is entitled No Child Without a Dad. And you can check out their website, LifeCentersGlobal.com. LifeCentersGlobal.com. We'll be back in just 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
From the frontiers of scientific discovery, researchers are now taking design elements from the natural world and creating extraordinary breakthroughs that benefit our health, our quality of life, our ability to communicate, and even help us work more efficiently. Many of these are documented in the book Discovery of Design. In this book, you'll learn how things like batteries, human organ repair, microlenses, and even credit card security all have links to natural designs. You'll learn how innovations like solar panels in space use technology from beech tree leaves, how the study of the leg bone led to the building of the Eiffel Tower, how the study of the timber beetle helped to improve the use of chainsaws. Over 75 such illustrations are given. It's a fantastic journey into the intersection of science and God's blueprints for life. Discovery of Design is available for a donation of $16 or more to VCY America by calling 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
We're a nation in crisis. We've got cities in crises. We've got churches in crises. We have families in crises. Addressing that issue here today on Crosstalk, Paul Benjamin Sr. is with us here today, author of the book No Child Without a Dad, talking about the impact that fatherlessness is having upon our society today. And I'd like to, we painted kind of a grim picture of where we are, but Pastor Paul, I'd like to have us take a look at hope. I'd like to look at solutions here, and let's first of all talk about the church. What is the role of the church in these things? I know earlier you mentioned to me that you see the church as being the weakest link at this time.
Yeah, Jesus was sent by the Father to reach one world, and he spent his time with 12 men. And he said, I have no other plan. Today, only 5% of the pastors actually spend time mentoring the men. And part of the reason for that, most pastors, about 7 out of 10 pastors, were raised by either no dad or an absentee dad or an abusive dad. So it's hard to reproduce what you haven't seen. And so the number one thing with churches, they spend a lot of time reaching the youth and the single moms, which has about a 3% and a 17% return. But when you reach the men, you have a 93 to 97% return. And the word father means source. So if we don't address the source of our problems, we can't get to the root of our problems. But a matter of fact, tomorrow I'll be training some pastors and some church leaders on the impact center concept. Because every crime that's committed is 1 mile from a church building. And COVID really revealed to the church pastors that the church is not the building. Most people say, I go to the church, or I'm passing, oh, that's my church over there. No, we are the church. And God's solution is still the church. And we are the church, and he has created us in the image of his dear son to go and bring forth life and bring healing to the world, and to reflect who he is as Father. Jesus said, when you see me, you see the Father. And so the role of the church is to reveal a healthy modeled image of what fatherhood is. And so that's what I'm doing, is training churches and pastors and leaders how to use their empty buildings that sit there 6 days out of the week, empty, not being used, to now turn that into an impact center, where they can start effectively reaching out to their communities through spiritual, social, and economic opportunities, creating jobs, businesses, and to bring spiritual and economic renewal, putting single moms to work and giving them value, allowing the church members to use their skills. We call that their app, activating their passion into purpose. And so that brings hope and renewal to the community. When we launched our Impact Center, we saw crime reduced by 50% the first year. That is the impact when we allow the Heavenly Father to work through us, the church, to bring hope and healing.
There would be those who say it's too late for a course correction. Do you agree or disagree with that?
Oh, no. We have the greater light. And when it gets darker, the light becomes brighter. And this is our great opportunity now for the church to step up and to be catalytic changers in their community. A matter of fact, during COVID, a lot of people tuned in online. Many churches saw the explosion of the viewership on their Facebook Live, and many people came to Christ. We saw an increase of Bible apps being downloaded. People are searching for hope because suicide went up 50% among men, among teens, and so they began looking for hope online. So churches that had an online platform saw a large increase, almost a doubling of online viewership, because people are searching and looking for hope. But we were not meant to have a virtual relationship. We still have to be salt and light, because people need to see our video and our audio match. And that's been one of the biggest disconnects with the church, is that our video haven't matched our audio. We have preached the gospel, but the gospel has not taken on flesh. But now we're training the churches how to put the word into action and impact their community, because people are waiting for that greater light to be seen in their community.
And friends, you'll find much information on his website, lifecentersglobal.com, lifecentersglobal.com. I'd like to open our phone lines here today. Perhaps you've got a question for our guest here today, Pastor Paul Benjamin Sr. Our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. We're talking about the impact of fatherlessness that is so prevalent in our society today, especially within our cities. We're seeing this phenomena take place. And perhaps you've got a question for our guest. Perhaps there's something that he said that has sparked something in your heart and life. Perhaps today, Paul, you have just opened the eyes of individuals to this very thing. There are many who have said, well, we're going to leave this to the government. I mean, we have government programs talking, some who are pushing for reparations. We've got some that are pushing for this guaranteed minimum income, and that should be the answer. But you're saying that's not the answer at all, is it?
No, we've already proven 60 years of the war on poverty. We've already pillaged the taxpayers over $22 trillion, and look what we have today. That's a proof of your return on investment. I share a principle called forced investors and intentional investors. Well, every taxpayer is a forced investor. We don't have a choice. We have to pay our taxes, and we've seen how the government has squandered the taxes and have pillaged the taxpayers. And the return was what we see now, more crime, more violence, more destruction of homes and cities. But an intentional investor now says, we're going to partner with a ministry that's going to be intentional to influence the community, reach out to the fatherless homes, reach out to single moms, stop the problems, reach out to men, and then begin to see revival and renewal in families and communities. That's intentional investment that has a return that will bring renewal and hope in the community.
Our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Let's begin with Betty in Maumee, Ohio. You're on the air, Betty.
Hi, Jim. At the beginning of the program, your guest talked about the seven stages, and that piqued my interest. I mean, if we're just about to enter number five, I can't imagine how much worse it's going to be. So I'd like him to talk a little bit more about that. And is there a timeline? I mean, I'm looking for the rapture, so I'm hoping that we don't see the seventh. So I'll hang up and listen to the answer. And I want to know if it's in his book as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Betty.
Yeah, everything I'm speaking about is in the book. The book is as a panacea. It encapsulates the Bible and the heart of the Father. But the seventh seasons, as I talk about, the first one is Passover. All of these seasons are outlined in Leviticus 23 chronologically in God's timeline. First one was Passover. That was fulfilled by Yeshua, Jesus. Second one is Feast of Unleavened Bread. And, of course, Jesus was the perfect lamb, no yeast or corruption. Third one is first fruits. He was our first fruits, and a reminder of that when we die, we will be also resurrected with a glorified body. The fourth one is Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out on Pentecost. The fifth one is the Feast of Trumpets, and our last president was President Trump. And typically before the Feast of Trumpets, when Yeshua, the Father, blows the trumpet and Christ comes for his bride, there's a season of blessing like what we experienced through the season when President Trump was in office. And that is when also the wheat is beginning to be separated from the chaff. And that's why you see the increase of things on the left beginning to come at this critical point. where you're seeing people blatantly talking about 666, put in the blood of goats and people in sneakers and people with pentagrams and honoring Satan at the highest peak of governmental leaders and the greatest honor of the god Baal, which is the murder of babies in our nation, where it is honored at the highest office right now in the land. And the sixth appointment there is the Day of Atonement, which is after the fifth one when the church is taken out. The Jews will cry out, Baruch Hashem Adonai, which is blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord, which is the enemy will come against Israel. As you're seeing right now, Iran is about to become a nuclear power. China is gearing up against Israel and Russia. So God is going to take care of the enemy against Israel. And the seventh one, which is the final season, this is a season that we'll celebrate forever with the Father, is called the Feast of Tabernacles. We're about to celebrate that this year in September, and we're looking forward to doing a national event with that to teach churches. And that is where we fellowship around the Father's table forever.
We've got a lot of
quickly summarizing.
We got a lot, and you'll find much of the material in his book here, things he's talking about today. Lines, let's see, we got Eleanor next in Tucson, Arizona. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. Thank you for your program. It's been a real blessing to me. I'm really interested in your book. We've been talking a lot about revival at our church. I've been very confused about how to do that. I was shocked at the 17% you said about women, single parents. I am the single mother of adult children, 22 and 25. How do I make an impact on my children in the Lord? This is just shocking to me. I'm going to have to buy your book.
Well, Acts 16:31 talks about a principle. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved and
thy
house. And that means anybody you place in your house, starting with your natural children, then your spiritual children, God is obligated to honor that because it's his word. I shared that principle a few years ago in a prayer group in North Carolina, and the leader of the group, her brother, was alienated from the Lord and was angry with God because of their father abuse. 2 weeks later, after placing him in her spiritual house, he gave his life to Christ. And God restored their relationship as brother and sister, and now he's in Christ. And I also recommend that if there's anything that has alienated you from their dad, because I share that principle in the book, knowingly and unknowingly, children...
She's saying he's passed away right now, the biological father.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so those are things I coach and talk about. I will not have enough time on the program, but a lot of principles are in the book.
Thank you, Eleanor, for the call. We are up against a break. We'll be back with more of your calls here in just a moment. Our telephone number is 800-733-9829. And again, the website for our guest, lifecentersglobal.com. Back in a minute.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. In February of 2018, I used my radio show and TV show to warn that President Barack Hussein Obama and John McCain had worked with Congress to create a commission on military, national, and public service. I warned that they were going to require women to sign up for the National Draft Selective Service. I also warned their goal would also be to make mandatory community service, where young people to get out of high school would have to do so many hours of community service, but it could only be with an organization approved by the government, not your church. In fact, previous federal legislation said the kids could in no way be involved with religious instruction or leading a worship team or maintaining a church building. What are they doing here? Brainwashing. Now this commission has released its report in March of 2020. Now it's been rolled into the Military Authorization Act and came out of a committee last week. They're now putting it into funding. This is on the verge of happening. Wake up, America.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Let's get right back to the phone lines here. Scott in Holman, Wisconsin. Thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Hi. This is Scott. I wanted to point out that this father-son relationship thing really affects Christians a lot. I got saved at 16 and a half, but I was raised in a home, just me and my brother with my mother, and my dad was still there sometimes. Well, he lived at the dealership 18 hours a day, so we rarely saw him. And we've had a very tumultuous relationship throughout the years. And, you know, he's a Freemason. He's been a Freemason since he was in college, and he's been trying to get me and my brother to join the lodge. And I know a lot about Freemasonry, and I warned my brother about it, and I said, there is no way we're going to become Freemasons. No, thank you. Mm-hmm. Not interested. And he's not too happy to hear that. And he recently told me, you know, if you want to come down here and visit me in Tennessee, then, you know, you just wait till we give you permission, but don't just show up or don't just assume you can just come down.
Nice.
You know, and this has really affected my relationship to some degree with the Lord. When I used to hear people say, you know, Father God or, you know, Abba Father and stuff, it used to make me just bristle, and I just thought, oh, yuck, no, don't do that, don't say that, because I could not possibly relate to God as a father. God to me was a king, he was a rescuer, he was Lord, he was master, and I was his servant, you know, but this idea of seeing him as a father was just, it made me very uncomfortable. And honestly, even to this day, I never address God as Father. Mm. I see him in many other different ways, you know, Lord and Savior and Master and King, and even as my rescuer. I love to call him my rescuer.
Scott, for sake of time, forgive me for interrupting. We'll get your main point here, and Scripture does tell us to, in that model prayer, our Father who art in heaven. So address our caller here, Paul, if you would. Scott here is who is repulsed at even the term father because of how his father treated him.
He just proved my point that I wrote in the book. I said 80% of pastors don't pray to the Father, they pray to Jesus. And the model prayer that Jesus told us, every prayer is to his Father in Jesus' name, is the access to get to the Father. Mm-hmm. And the reason why we don't pray to the Father is the very reason, because that word Father is heinous, because when one in four men have been physically or sexually abused by a man called Father, and one in three women by a man called Father, no wonder no one wants to relate to that word Father. So when you mention that word Father, all kinds of pictures in your brain, emotions, and anger begins to stir on the inside, and all worship is all to Jesus. And Jesus says, I came to reveal the Father. And matter of fact, he said in John 17:3, this is eternal life, that you may know my dad, the Father.
Yeah.
So therefore, this is the plan of the enemy to attack fatherhood, because God is called Father. And if he can mar the image of Father, then he can mar the influence of the Heavenly Father. And that's why many people are still walking around wounded. And when you touch that wound, all kind of pain emanates from their mouth, as you see on social media. And that's why it turns a lot of people off from coming to the Father.
Wow. This got any brief follow-up here?
Well, that makes a lot of sense to me, and I can't disagree with it. I think you're spot on. Yeah, and I'm just trying to like work through that, and
sure,
I've never thought about praying Father God, because I usually do address Jesus. I go right to Jesus, you know.
Yeah,
And there's one mediator between God and man. The man is Christ Jesus. So Jesus indeed is a mediator, but we pray to God the Father in the name of the Son,
right.
and certainly even I've got one more call I'm going to squeeze in here, but the importance of doing a study, even though this world has corrupted what it means to be father, study God's Word to see how the Heavenly Father contrasts what has been dominating the world today by the word Father. Let's get one last call in. We've got Joseph in Scottsdale, Arizona. You're on the air.
Yes, I'd just like to thank your guest for bringing up an absolutely important ministry
Speaker Joseph, we're losing you. Talk right into your mouthpiece.
No, I just wanted to thank him greatly for, you know, bringing up a much-needed ministry, you know, seeing the issues that are going on in the communities and all those different things. Like what was mentioned earlier, you know, some folks think that, you know, just throw another government program into the mix to solve the issues, but I'd like to just thank him for standing up and requiring the church to be the church. They are the ones that are anointed and appointed to do the work that he is doing. So,
amen. Amen.
I appreciate you, and I'd like to see more ministries come alongside you.
Great. Thank you for the call here, Joseph. And how can people come alongside you, Ben, or Paul, rather?
Well, they can go to our website, lifecentersglobal.com. They can support the ministry financially, because our goal from this book is to raise millions of dollars so I can go into multiple cities and find men and women of God that would like to stand in the gap and help to seed money into those cities to become impact centers, to begin being the arms and the legs of Jesus Christ, and to model the image of Father. And that is modeled. We teach husbands and wives how to, Proverbs 68 talks about being, he's placing the fatherless in families, and that's not only children. We have grown adults who don't have fathers and don't have a healthy image of the Heavenly Father. So they can go to the website, and also they can get the book, the e-book, the audio book, and spread the word and get that out to as many people as possible, because the book brings a healthy renewal of the image of the of our Heavenly Dad.
Well, friends, we apologize to not be able to grab more phone calls. We're less than half a minute left in the program today. But again, that website is lifecentersglobal.com. And I'm sure that you have a contact there if people want to follow up with even further questions for you there as well.
Yes, there's a contact page if they'd like to contact, and if they'd like me to speak to their church or schedule a speaking engagement or to become an impact center, we can consult and train them how to do that.
Paul Benjamin Sr. with us here today, and author of the book No Child Without a Dad. And it covers a number of critical issues here today. So many are saying that the government is the answer. It's not. Certainly, the church has the answer, and it's found in the Word of God. Men, you need to take responsibility and to be the dad that God has called you to be. Our time is gone. Brother, stay on the line here for a moment if you would. And friends, thanks for joining us on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.